Good afternoon. Yes, I'll be talking about mobile device use and policies targeting drivers. I have no financial relationships to disclose. I wish I did. Our center is actually an independent nonprofit organization, and our mission is to inform health policy decisions by providing sound research and analysis. And we do not advocate or lobby for any particular position. We just present the information. The overview of our discussion today will include the burden of the problem, as well as some behavioral risk factors indicated through evidence, some policy strategies to impact the problem, as well as the impacts of policy that the evidence shows. We'll discuss some policy considerations and policy enactments. So the burden of the problem. I'm going to start with talking about the big picture of unintentional injuries. So how many of you are injury epidemiologists in the room? Awesome. I didn't know there were that many. Very good. Thanks for coming. It's not my area of expertise, but I've enjoyed doing that work for policymakers. So in the big picture, as many of you know, in the United States, unintentional injuries are a major cause of death for those under 45 years of age, and they are also a very large cause, one of the top causes of death, and even greater so for Mississippians. In Mississippi also, motor vehicles deaths are the primary driver of our unintentional injury death rates of all ages. And we expend a great amount, not only in terms of losing deaths to these crashes or losing lives, but also in treatment and release for the injuries that are not severe, and for severe injuries, hospital admissions. So in 2011, we expended $38.6 million estimated in medical care costs. When we compare our motor vehicle crash death rates just in 2012 alone from Mississippi compared to the average in the United States, our rate is of course double, and we are 8 times higher than the states with the best crash injury rates. So we have a long way to go. We have many rural counties in our state, and this slide shows that not only does our state have very high death rates for motor vehicle crashes, but many of our counties, particularly rural counties, have even double the crash death rates of the statewide average. So those rural areas, of course, you have more exposure to driving because you're driving further distance. So that's usually the reason. And you may just be a little more careless. So the research literature shows that engaging in risky behaviors while driving increases the risk of motor vehicle crashes, and that can be up to 100 times when you're comparing to driving behaviors when you're not engaging in those high-risk behaviors. And the literature highlights several very high-risk driving behaviors for crash-related injuries, and those include speeding, intoxication and drowsy driving, not using seat belts, and distracted driving. So that's not news to many of you in the room. So in Mississippi, in summary, from 2008 to 2012, we lost over 3,000 lives due to fatal motor vehicle crashes, and distracted driving contributed to 1 out of 12 of each of the crash-related deaths. In 2010, our center commissioned the Social Sciences Research Center out of Mississippi State University to poll Mississippians to find out their behaviors and attitudes towards distracted driving. And as one of the outcomes of that survey, we found that many adults, almost all adults, admitted that they had at least talked on a cell phone while driving in Mississippi, and a third of them had texted. And of course, those numbers were higher for the younger age groups. For those 18 to 44, we saw the most admitting that they enjoyed doing that behavior while driving. So in terms of policy impact, policy is often the strategy injury epidemiologist knows very well to address risky behaviors and be able to impact a large group of a population in a short time frame. We saw this in Mississippi after enactment of policies to address risky driving behaviors, including driving without wearing a seatbelt, driving while intoxicating, and speeding. Those behaviors all have laws that were enacted to address those risky behaviors, as well as had public service campaigns and policy enforcements through law enforcement to address the problem. And we've seen those rates decline for all of those issues over time. As you all know, we can't say that that is causal, but it is a good indicator that it's having an impact. So by 2014, getting to mobile device use policies across the states, many states had enacted some type of policy to address this behavior. Many had enacted bans where they included primary enforcement for banning texting for all drivers of all ages. There were only two states at that time that had no distracted driving legislation, and that was Montana and Arizona, I believe, or New Mexico. New Mexico? Arizona, thank you, I get those confused. So Mississippi at that time only had a ban that addressed texting while driving for people who had not received their full driver's license. So just for youth who were just beginner drivers, and also just for school bus drivers who were transporting youth. That was the only restrictions in the state. But as you can see, again, many states had enacted policies to address the problem in some way. So last year, the American Journal of Public Health produced a study out of the University of Alabama that looked at the research as far as all the enacted policies by the state and their impact on crash death rates, as well as by how the laws were enforced. And they found, the researchers found, that there was a significant reduction in crash mortality rates in the states that had a primary enforced law that was applied to all age of drivers. In contrast, the states who had not enacted those types of policies did not see any significant declines in their mortality rates. So this was pretty convincing to me. I was not sure it was really that big of a problem. But it, when I saw this, we thought, this is good information. And it was very well done study. So putting the pen to the paper and applying that to Mississippi, if we had had a primary enforced texting ban applied to all drivers from 2008 to 2012, we could have improved health and economic outcomes by lowering crash death rate counts by 95 lives, by reducing injury counts by 10,000, and by reducing medical care costs by $75 million. And I'm going to go back again to the study the Social Sciences Research Center did in 2010 for us, when they also polled Mississippians who admitted to loving to text and drive, for the most part, if they were in favor of a ban. And many of them were in favor of a ban, particularly banning texting while driving. Very few opposed a ban. So when we're looking at the policy considerations, the research suggests that reduced motor vehicle crash deaths occur once we enact policy provisions that prohibit texting by drivers of all ages and authorize enforcement when texting is a primary traffic safety offense. We pulled this information together in an issue brief developed on the topic. I've provided copies of those in the back of the room if you'd like to take them home with you today. And that has all the references for all of this information as well. So in summary, mobile device use is a common and risky distracted driving behavior, particularly in Mississippi. It has a hefty health and economic toll, and many of our states have enacted policies banning texting while driving for all drivers, but they vary in whether the bans call for primary or secondary law enforcement. The evidence indicates that laws that ban texting by drivers of all ages with a primary law enforcement provision significantly impact motor vehicle crash death rates. So in 2015, we provided this information through the issue brief and discussions with our policymakers who are considering further legislation. And they utilized the issue brief and quotes from the American Journal of Public Health Study while they debated laws on the floor. And they actually enacted a law that went into effect July 1st, 2015, that bans text messaging and social media use on mobile devices for drivers of all ages. So policymakers do listen to evidence sometimes. So that's my fun story. If you'd like to know more, we have email alerts on our website. We follow the state's legislation during the legislative session in Mississippi every year, so that's on our website. We also have a Twitter handle at MS Health Policy if you'd like to catch up with us there. Thank you so much. If the policymakers want to revisit the issue in 3 years, we will, because we're funded and driven more so about their interests. So we really don't do studies for the sake of studies. But we'd love to pay our universities to do that for us if we need to, or I'll end up probably doing it if we need it. But the law sunsets in 3 years. The penalty is very low. So the idea is to go back and look at the impact at that time. And so we'll probably revisit it and see what we've achieved at that time.
Thank you for the
information. You're welcome. So tell me about the policy enactment. What was the pre-enactment, or were there a lot of pushback? What did the evidence argument really push for? So the sticking point in our state, and for a lot of states in particular, was the enforcement issue. That being able to prove that someone is texting or talking on a phone is really hard for law enforcement. So that was a major argument against enacting a stronger ban for several years. And so it was they were testing the waters with the other two bans to see if there was any kind of impact on the problem, and there really wasn't. So, because it was just so specific, I think they had issued maybe 3 citations in the 2 or 3 years that those laws were enacted, but yet we were still seeing, plenty of deaths and fatalities. So the burden of the problem was still high, if that answers your question. Also, policymakers just didn't want to change their behavior. So that was another major factor. They didn't want to change what they were doing as they were driving, most of them from rural areas into Jackson, Mississippi, which is in the center of the state, there's a picture of the state in the issue brief, and in the center is where Jackson is, and that's where our state capital is located and where our lawmakers gather. So many of them travel 2 or 3 hours, 2 or 3 times a week, particularly during the session, and didn't want to change their behaviors. Hope that helps. Yes.
I'm from the embarrassing state of Arizona. We do have local ordinances in the county. One of the statistics you showed that we're persuasive was the number of deaths and the number of And then you also showed the number in medical costs. Now that
That's just overall cost, correct.
Okay. And have you looked at the taxpayers?
I would love to.
Yeah.
That's very hard to do.
I know.
It's very hard to do. I would love to. If you have some ideas on that, let's talk.
I was looking at you.
The school bus drivers?
Yeah.
No. It actually is a blanket policy for everyone now. So it's all ages and primary and four. So it's everyone now. That was prior to the passage of the law in 2015. So, That's right. They were the only ones that could have been cited before, and that's because we had one death of a child in one of the policymakers' districts, and so that law passed to because of one death. So that's how it works. Yeah. So, any other questions? Thank you guys so much for your attention and great questions.